You to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I can't stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. Can't take the sky from me.
Well, my friends, hopefully you can hear me. Sorry about the little glitch there at the beginning. Winamp was doing its usual thing and giving us a difficult time, as always. So, well, tonight, here we are, same time, same place, 9 o'clock, Central Standard Time, and JMR Radio. And thank you all for joining us tonight here in the Tinker's Shop. Get too used to doing other stuff sometimes. Anyway, yes, tonight is the 1st of March of 2014, and as promised, the subject is root beer. Yes. So, what we're going to need to do is we'll have to go out to our usual spot, and I'll go ahead and paste that here into the chat room. There we go. Out at, if you don't want to use the W's in front, that works as well. But out at Arlen, A-R-L-I-N-N hyphen tower.com/Tinkers_shop, and it's a capital T for Tinkers. So, let's go on out to the page here, and it'll bring us to our usual page, and if we scroll way down, we got an item there in the list here for root beer, and so I'm just titling it tonight, so you want to make root beer, so go ahead and click on that. Okay, so I'll give everybody a few seconds here to get to the page that, yes, for those who want to take a look at the page, and bear with me here for a couple seconds, and so I'm going to have to be real quick here and shutting volumes down because I lost my my chat room page. And come on, page, there we go. Sometimes it's nice for me to be able to see the chat room as well. Okay, so here we go. Root beer. Actually, I'm going to hit probably about three different variants on doing root beer tonight. Going to go ahead with how to make root beer from straight extract, and then root beer that's boil your own herbs for it. And then the third one is, you know, how to make a real root beer that is actually beer. And so I should probably explain here, too, a little bit, by the way. If I sound a little bit disjointed tonight or a little bit odd, the last little less than 24 hours have been rather, shall we say, eventful here. Last night, about the time that Concretin lost his connection, from about that point until about the time he finally got on the air, I was having an interesting time here at our place up here in the tundra. Had my wood burner going, and all of a sudden I went, you know, sniff, sniff, sniff. I think I smelled something. I kind of looked around and went, I know my eyes are cloudy these days, but this near the ceiling looks a little bit too cloudy. And I realized that in the wood burner we were getting kind of a, let's see, how would you call it? The fire in the wood burner was kind of running away with itself. And I actually had one of the pipes on here smoking. Yeah, on, so we came probably within about 3 minutes of having a chimney fire here. You know, got the stuff shut down last night, babysat the wood burner fireplace until about 2 a.m, till it was cold enough and all the coals were out in there that I just went, okay, now I can go to sleep. That was, like I said, fairly eventful evening. And so this afternoon, I decided enough's enough with this stuff, and I got Tinkerbell to drive me over to our local Menards, which is similar to Tractor Supply, and I'm trying to think of some of the other ones around the country, but, you know, fairly good-sized hardware store, you know, man mall, if you want to call it that. And we went and got all the new piping necessary to do the to redo the piping here for the wood stove or the wood burner. So that thing is working now, and you know, again, the front room office here is nice and toasty, and this time I don't have to worry about the house lighting up. So let me just take a peek here. Okay, yep, I see Tinkerbell is talking about how it's smelling the smoke. We had everybody come wandering in here through the course of the evening going, what's that hot smell? What's that hot smell? I says, it was that. You know, put the thing out. So anyway, I suppose I better get busy here and you know, talk about what I had promised I was going to. And that's about how to brew your own root beer. Let's go ahead and do a little bit of history here. Up here at the top of the page here, I just kind of did a block here. And yes, the first documented evidence of root beer production was here in the North American colonies out on the East Coast. And, you know, like I have here, you know, historians also often, you know, credit Charles Hiers with creating the root beer flavor we know today. But it's more likely that his particular version was just more popular than the rest, and because there are so many varieties of root beer out there, and Hiers root beer, it's okay. I like it. It's good, but there's a lot of others. A&W root beer, the old draft type that they used to have that I remember from when I was a little guy, was always, you know, fairly thick and creamy and tasted pretty good. And so it's root beer isn't a particular flavor. It's a combination. And on here, I did find some information. You know, I have it here. This is a list of ingredients and countries where the ingredients came from a 1922 pamphlet that was put out by the Hiers Root Beer Company. They actually used birch bark, which, you know, from here in the States, in New England. I imagine probably most of you have already have tasted birch beer, which, again, is another one that's, you know, fairly close relative to root beer. Also, the dog grass, that one I'm not familiar with. I'm not sure what that is. It might be similar to lemongrass. I'm not positive. Ginger, and then he has your Hiers special plant. Well, again, you know, the trade secret, the one that, you know, they never told what was in it. Juniper berries, you know, which most people are familiar with that, possibly from the taste of gin, because that's the main flavoring agent in gin. It's basically like vodka or moonshine with juniper berries in there. Then we go ahead and see what else. Licorice, which, you know, licorice root. Sugar, you know, it was in 1922, it was probably less refined sugar than what we have today. You know, probably more something along the lines of turbinado or the demerara I've mentioned. Wintergreen, and that would be, you know, from the leaves or the oils from the wintergreen plant. Chirita or chiretta. Can't see him. I think I'm throwing an extra eye in there, but my eyes are not being real cooperative. And that would be from India. And then another two different kinds of ginger. So this is three kinds of ginger they had in there. One from Africa and one from Jamaica. And here's one that you probably wouldn't have expected. Hops. But again, it's a beer, really. And again, licorice from Spain. Sarsaparilla from the Honduras. And that would be, you know, sarsaparilla root. Vanilla. Everybody knows vanilla. Yeah, obviously they use the ones from Mexico. And then yerba mate, which is another herb that, let's see here. It's been substituted for coffee. It's a rather bitter one, and it's yerba mate. You can buy it in like a 3-pound bag for tea. I've got a bag of it out here in our tea stash in our pantry. So these are the ones that he'd used. And I do have the note in here that in 1960, the FDA outlawed sassafras because it contains safrole, and this is another one that they found caused cancer in lab rats. Again, I'm not sure. Probably does, you know, because, you know, in 1960 they weren't quite as, let's see here how to put it, they weren't quite as weird as they are now. And hold on for just one moment here. Okay, I'm back. Yeah, I just didn't want to cough and on you guys and, you know, bust everybody's eardrums, because that just would not be real polite for me to do. So, now, I should probably go ahead and mention, you know, that the primary element in the root beer flavor that we know today is actually wintergreen, like the gum. Let's see, what time we got here? We got 9:14. Why don't I do this? Just for grins, since my throat was wanting to give me a little bit of a scratchiness here, so I think maybe I should probably stop and refill my mug here with some more liquid. So for the meantime here, where was the one I was going to do? There we go. Some music I'd promised people I was going to play this week. Because, what was it, last night was it? Or was it Thursday night? Thursday night, we had Possum come visit us in the chat room. And so, because of that, that implanted an earworm on me when he was talking about seeing skunks squished along the roadside. So why don't we do this? I'm going to put a couple of just kind of fun songs in here. Yeah, one's called A Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road, and then we'll also go ahead and listen to Waltzing with Bears. So I should be back. Let's see, what would it be? Probably about 5 or 6 minutes here. So put them in, and then I'll be back.
Crossing the highway late last night, he should've looked left and he should've looked right. He didn't see the station wagon car. The skunk got squashed and there you are. You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Stinking to high heaven.
Try a song called Waltzing with Bears. This song is about my Uncle Walter. As we say at home, he's a couple of fries shy of a happy meal. Yes, if you look into my Uncle Walter's eyes, you get the distinct impression somebody else is driving. And he likes to go waltzing late at night with bears. So I'll teach you the chorus and I'd like to hear you sing it with me. He goes wah, 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 waltzing with bears. Raggy bears, shaggy bears, baggy bears too. There's nothing on earth Uncle Walter won't do. So he can go waltzing, wah, 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 waltzing. So he can go waltzing, waltzing with bears. Great. I crept upstairs in the middle of the night. I tiptoed in, I turned on the light. To my surprise, there was no one in sight. My Uncle Walter goes waltzing at night. He goes wah, 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 waltzing with bears. Raggy bears, shaggy bears, baggy bears too. There's nothing on earth Uncle Walter won't do. So he can go waltzing, wah, 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 waltzing. So he can go waltzing, waltzing with bears. We bought Uncle Walter a new coat to wear. When he came in, it was covered in hair. Lately I've noticed several new tears. I'm afraid Uncle Walter goes waltzing with bears. He goes wah, 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 waltzing with bears. Raggy bears, shaggy bears, baggy bears too. There's nothing on earth Uncle Walter won't do. So he can go waltzing, wah, 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 waltzing. So he can go waltzing, waltzing with bears. We told Uncle Walter that he should be good. and do everything that we say he should. I think he would rather be off in the woods. I'm afraid we might lose Uncle Walter for good. He goes wah, 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 waltzing with bears. Raggy bears, shaggy bears, baggy bears too. There's nothing on earth Uncle Walter won't do. So he can go waltzing, wah, 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 waltzing. So he can go waltzing, waltzing with bears. We begged and we pleaded, please won't you stay? We managed to keep him at home for a day. But the bears all barged in and they took him away. Now he's waltzing with pandas, he can't understand us. The bears all demand at least one waltz a day. He goes wah, 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 waltzing with bears. Raggy bears, shaggy bears, baggy bears too. There's nothing on earth Uncle Walter won't do. So he can go waltzing, wah, 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 waltzing. So he can go waltzing, waltzing with bears. One more time he goes wah, 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 waltzing with bears. Mama bear, papa bear, baby bear too. Yogi and Boo Boo and Winnie the Pooh. He loves to go waltzing,
waltzing.
He loves to go waltzing, waltzing with bears.
Yes, the joys of live radio. We had a small Winamp crash there that managed to totally wrecked the signal there for a couple of minutes. So, and also I have to add in here at this point, when I had the Winamp crash there this evening, it actually took out my recording software for recording the show tonight. So here we are at just over 20 minutes into the original show, and now I get to recreate the last 40 minutes here of the show. So probably have a little bit different information worded a bit differently than it was on the original live broadcast, but I know I'll be able to cover most of the stuff. It'll just be possibly in a slightly different order than we had before. Okay, so like I'd said, we entered with the question, so you want to brew root beer? So that's what we're going to cover for this evening here. Well, what we're going to have here actually tonight is part one of brewing root beer. And so what we're going to cover tonight here primarily is brewing or making your own root beer from extracts. Okay, so the first thing we need to do is probably go ahead and cover a little bit of your tools that you're going to need to gather. Again, this is where we're departing from my original, but this is getting the thoughts a little bit more in order. You're going to have to gather several different tools and some other equipment. First thing you're going to need is a 4 to 5 gallon brewing pot. Most of us have around our homesteads here. We probably have a large soup pot that we use, so one of these stainless steel ones. A lot of us use them also for cooking down, you know, tomatoes or sauces or whatever. And like I said, I have a 5 gallon one I use for brewing, among other things. Stainless steel is very easy to clean. It doesn't hold any flavors in it, and very easy to sterilize. So that's point one. Second thing you'll need is a large spoon, you know, to be able to, you know, stir your brew up. You know, as I said, you know, it's either, you know, some people would call it a must. A must is actually with for wine making. It's your fruit juices, your waters, your sugars. In beer making and brewing, it's referred to as a wort, like I said last week. You know, your sweet wort, your water, your fermentable sugars, and your flavorings. So that's what we have there. Also, what you'll need is whole lot of beer bottles or some sort of bottles that you can store your product in. In this case, since we're discussing root beer and from extracts, you'll store your your root beer in there and allow it to ferment long enough to carbonate the bottles. The yeast that you use in this process will be a ale yeast. Ale yeast has the nice capability that once it hits a certain point in the fermentation, it generates enough carbon dioxide to where the carbon dioxide will kill the yeast, and it, you know, stops functioning from there. Champagne yeast is quite often suggested for making homemade sodas. The only problem with that is champagne yeast has a higher tolerance both for the alcohol production, and it lasts longer and isn't killed as quickly by the CO2. As a result of that, higher tolerance for carbon dioxide, it lasts longer and it will create more pressure inside your bottles. With that higher pressure, you run a greater risk of either the corks blowing out or your caps blowing off, or if you're using plastic bottles, you can actually blow the bottles up. So ale yeast is the preferred one to use. The final things you'll need are, if you're using beer bottles, you'll need caps for them. But for beer bottles, they used to be quite easily available. Quite often in the past, I used to, if I'd be coming home from work and I'd see people putting out bottles and cans for recycling, if I saw a person putting out, say, for example, a case of Leinenkugel bottles or Coors bottles or Point beer bottles, all these, Point and Leinenkugel bottles. Both those companies, which are here in Wisconsin, have traditionally used the crimp-on bottle caps, and they have a better gripping method than the new screw-on caps. Those new screw-on caps, the glass is thinner in the neck of the bottle and more susceptible to breakage. The old crimp-on caps, the glass was a lot thicker. Quite often it was at least of an eighth of an inch thick, possibly almost 3/16 in size. So they would work better to crimp new caps on. The last last couple of tools you'll need. One, you'll need a bottle capper. I know that on my grandparents' farm, I know they had at least two or three different bottle cappers. It was the old standard type, you know, flat base on it. It had like a wishbone coming up, and then on the long single leg of the wishbone, it was like corrugated or had little notches in there. And you had a handle that would slide onto there that you could, you know, you'd grab those teeth, and it would, as you push down on the arm, it would rotate the cap, the head down, which would crimp the caps onto the bottles. Around this place, we have two of them around here as well. They're nice to have. Yeah, very few moving parts in there, and they don't wear out. They keep on going. Another thing that I have around here, actually I have two of them, are modern bottle cappers, and they're kind of a standalone unit, or they don't even stand. They're just kind of handheld. What you do is when you're gonna crimp a cap on a bottle, you just pick the cap out of the hot water, which you use to clean and sterilize the caps, set it on the magnet on it, set that on top of the bottle, and you bring the two arms down on it, and that grips the neck of the bottle and just pushes the cap on and crimps it down, and they work extremely well. Let's see here. I should probably go back to bottles for a little bit. A lot of times when you can find bottles to recycle, you'll have to clean them. And, you know, speaking of recycling bottles, you wouldn't believe how many cases of beer bottles I have here, because I used to ride along on the way home from work or whatever and see people putting them out. I'd go up to the door and ask them, can I have your old beer bottles here that you're going to recycle? And people would go, yeah, go for it. You know, and so I would salvage the bottles. I'll bring them home in a case, clean the bottles out. Quite often, you know, it wouldn't take much more than just soaking and rinsing them out really well to get them cleaned. Sometimes, though, some people would leave a little bit of beer in the bottom of the bottle when they got through, and then it would get kind of, you know, gunky, dry, and moldy, and nasty. And I would take a bottle brush and just some bleach water and take a little bit more to clean them, but it's well worth it. And of course, you know, clean the labels off the bottle, so it just end up with a plain brown bottle. So that pretty well takes care of bottles. And then the last thing you need for as for tools is you need some way of getting your sweet wort out from your brewing bucket and into your bottles. The simplest method of doing it would be to use a siphon or a siphon hose, and of course that generally takes at least three hands, you know, one to hold the hose down into your brewing bucket, another one to be able to pinch the hose off, and a third one to hold the bottle and, you know, kind of look at it. But what you do then is you can fill the bottles up. Another tool that can be used, it's a little bit more of an advanced one. It's a device that can fit onto the end of your siphon hose and I actually use that on a brewing bucket I have that has a spigot on that. It goes onto a hose or onto a spigot for a bucket. And it's probably about 14 inches long. It's basically a hard plastic tube, and down at the bottom it's got a little valve that, when you push that little valve in, like with inside of a bottle, you push that up and it opens up the stream and allows it to siphon on into the bottle. This is a good thing to do because you don't get lots of extra oxygen into the bottle. And when you stir up your wort as you're bottling it, you don't want to have extra air in there. For one thing, you could, you know, possibly pick up a mold or yeast from the air. It's fairly unlikely, but it can happen. But the second thing is if you're stirring it up like that and splashing it, it'll absorb more oxygen. What you don't want it to do is do that, because if you do that, that'll actually give your yeast an extra kick in the butt with oxygen, and it'll ferment faster and could possibly overpressure your bottles. So, and like I said, you know, sometimes when I do a brew, I'll brew it in my, you know, large kettle, and then I'll actually transfer it to a bottling bucket. You know, either way works. It's just that a bottling bucket can give you a little bit more control, so you can watch your levels in your bottles as you fill them. Because what you want to end up with is about a 1-inch headspace. And that 1-inch headspace is what you need to have. If you go much less than that, your bottles won't carbonate that much, and so you have a fairly flat root beer. If you go more than an inch, you know, like if you go an inch and a half or 2 inches, you've got a lot of dead air space in there, and your root beer will overcarbonate, and, you know, the yeast will last a lot longer before the pressure goes up to the point where the yeast dies. Also, again, like I said, that air space at the top gets pressurized, and then it starts pressurizing your liquid. That's where your yeast is at. And you end up, if you have too much airspace, all your pressure is building up in that airspace at the top. And carbon dioxide is a gas, and it's compressible, so you can get a lot more pressure built up in the bottles. And you run the risk of either, you know, blowing the tops off or blowing the bottles apart. Or if it's overpressurized and it all hangs together, when you open it up, you can get a gusher, and it'll foam out all over the place. Okay, so with that said, we should probably go ahead and proceed on to the first section of this page here, and that's how to make root beer from extract. Okay, so step one, you need to buy some root beer extract. And you don't want to buy the stuff on the grocery store shelves. You're going to probably want to go to your brewing supply store or out on the internet and do a search for it. And I've got like three different suggestions here for root beer supplies. One of the ones, it's a quality root beer extract, is from HopTech. And they have three different variations of root beer extract. Used to be two, but they've recently added a third one. And these are all made from natural ingredients. The first two that they had were kind of clones of a couple of the more popular flavors of root beers that are out there. I believe they have a clone of the Heyer's root beer and possibly either the Dad's or A&W root beer. I'm pretty sure it's the Dad's one. And, you know, both are acceptable root beers. You know, they both taste different, and different people have, you know, different flavor choices for root beers. Also, HopTech has quite a number of other flavors. They have a sarsaparilla, a birch beer, a cherry cola, a cola, a ginger ale, and about a half a dozen other different flavors. And they're all supposed to be quite good. You know, I've seen a lot of comments out on their website, and people like it. As a matter of fact, their website is out at http://homemadesodacompany.com. So you'd be able to find the extracts on there. Most home brewing supply stores also carry root beer extracts, and the most common one you'll find, or the most common brand you'll find, is the Homebrew brand, and it's by Rainbow Flavors. And Rainbow Flavors is from out in Missouri, someplace out in the western part of the state. There's kind of a river running by the city where they're at. Looked it up one time because I was just curious to where they were located at. And they also make quite a few different flavors of extracts to make your own homemade soda. Root beer, of course. They have cola. And they also have ginger ale. Those are the three that I have here at home. Again, they have several other flavors as well. It's a pretty good brand. So that's an acceptable one. And then also, there's another one that I've found both in Amish and a couple Mennonite grocery stores. And it's this is named Stolfus Root Beer Extract. And this is a slightly larger bottle than the ones from Rainbow Flavors. But it still, you know, works just as well, and it's actually a fairly decent root beer. So, and there are, let's see, Stolfus is bottled from bulk out, I believe it's from in, it's either Ohio or Pennsylvania. It's out in Amish country out there anyway. Okay, before we go on to the next section here, I think what I should probably do, since it's about 40 minutes past the hour, it's probably about time for me to get a couple more commercial breaks in here, and then once we do those, I'll be back, and then we'll go on into step two, brewing your own root beer.
There are a few things life has to offer that is a great above the rest. Good friends, good food, and a premium handmade cigar from F.K. Kristen Pipe Company. All Just Measures Radio listeners get 10% off all singles and 15% off all boxes. And when you order a box, you will also get one of Natty's Selects free. That's right, with every box purchase, you get one of my hand-picked favorites along with 15%. This is a deal that cannot be beat. You can call or email Stacy via the link at Just Measures Radio or JustMeasuresCS.com. F.K. Kristen, your premium cigar company. And yes, each one is rolled on the thighs of virgins south of the border.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Bench, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Okay, well, we're back. So, we got less than 20 minutes here to go ahead and go through the last three steps of making your homemade root beer. So step two, you know, once you've got implements together and you've decided, you know, what extract you're going to use, you need to follow the instructions on the extract bottle. And the instructions from company to company will vary. Actually, I do have a page linked here. Probably see over here at the right here. It says the instructions for the rainbow extracts are here. Now, that's a link to take you to another page. And it, I actually did copy out the instructions verbatim for how to make extract from the rainbow company's root beer extract. And it, you know, this basically it's the same instructions for all their types. So, but generally speaking, for brewing your extracts, you know, this I'll be going through for the 5 gallon batch. The one for the rainbow extracts, that actually is for making two liter bottles. So it's a smaller quantity, and they actually use or recommend using the plastic 2 liter soda bottles. I'm not real crazy about using the plastic bottles because they have a tendency of as they pressurize, they get really hard. You know, it's, like Mama said, you know, they get harder in the hubs of hooey, or like I've been known to say that, you know, they get hard as a rock and stiff as a life sentence. You know, it gets a little dangerous. You can blow those bottles apart kind of easily if they overpressurize. So, but we will mention using plastic bottles when we're almost to the end. Okay, so let's do this here. Like I said, step two, following the instructions on the extract bottle, but the general instructions, they generally are something like dissolving 4 pounds of sugar into 5 gallons of boiling water. And then once you've, you know, boiled it for a while, then, and you've taken it off from the heat, you go ahead and add your extract and mix it up. Reason you do the boil for this stuff, you don't have to cook it or boil it for, you know, an hour long like you do for producing a regular beer or a beer from actual herbs and roots and whatnot. Because that, you know, the long boil for those is where you're extracting the flavors out. You actually have the extract ready. So what you're doing with this boiling of the sugar and the water, it's basically to sterilize both of them. You know, water, you know, yeah, you can use lukewarm tap water and just, you know, swirl the sugar in there and add your extracts. But if you do that, you're running the risk of getting stray, either yeast or molds in it. And you don't want that. You want to make sure it's all properly sterilized. And then you don't get anything you don't get any wild yeasts in there. Because wild yeast can be rather unpredictable. You can pick up a vinegar yeast and, you know, wreck a whole batch. So that's where that comes from. Okay, so once you have your sugar water boiled there, you add your extract to it. And again, at that point, you basically have created a sweet wort, just like you'd make for making a regular beer. Because you have your fermentable sugars in there, you have your water and your flavorings. And with this here, you don't necessarily have to use just plain old table sugar, you know, white sugar, sucrose, because that's usually made from either sugar cane or sugar beets. I'm a little always hesitant about using sugar from sugar beets because most of the beets these days are a GMO, genetically modified organism. But again, by the time you get through brewing, you might be safe. Like I said, I just try avoiding GMOs wherever possible. But you can actually play around and experiment a little bit with your sugars and such. You can, you know, add a little extra sugar, or you can, you know, put a little less in, a little more, a little less. You know, you adjust the sweetness to how you'd like to have the flavor. Also, there's other things you can use. For example, you can use corn syrup. And it's like I have here, it's sometimes gives you a kind of a cleaner taste than the table sugar. So it's, you know, that's kind of a, you know, matter of choice, but it's something that's worthwhile to experiment with. You can also use fructose, which is, you know, fruit sugars. And fructose is actually sweeter than most of the other sugars. And this means you can use less sugar to produce the same sweetness in your root beer or your sodas with fewer calories. And, you know, fructose is also used by brewers just like corn syrup is. And, yeah, another thing, and like I had mentioned earlier, it kind of hurts my mouth to say it, but, if calories are a factor, or if a person's diabetic, or, you know, if someone else is going to be drinking is diabetic, you can use some of the artificial sweeteners, like Sweet and Low or aspartame. You know, it's like NutraSweet. You know, that, again, like I said, you know, it hurts my mouth to say it because aspartame has gotten a bad rap. And actually, aspartame, you don't want to get that above 80 degrees. If you get that above 80 degrees, it breaks down into methanol, which is, you know, wood alcohol. Let's see what else is in there. Formaldehyde and some other things. So if you do use it, keep the temperatures down. You want to keep it down probably in the 75 degree range or less. And so, like I said, you know, I just had to mention it. I don't really care for them, but this is an alternative. But you're still going to, even if you do use these artificial sweeteners and a little bit of fructose for the sweetness, you're still going to have to use a little bit of corn sugar or cane sugar, probably roughly about 4 ounces for 5 gallons of your wort. That'll give your yeast that you're going to add later on something to work on. And, you know, so you can get your carbonation into the bottles. And, you know, the majority of the yeast will be consumed, or most of the sugar will be consumed by the yeast. So you probably wouldn't have too much of a problem with that. And actually, with the, let's see here, how to explain it. Yeah, obviously when yeast does its thing, it produces carbon dioxide and alcohol. But because of the sensitivity of the yeast to the carbon dioxide buildup in a bottle that's closed, it carbonates and it kills the yeast off fairly quick. Generally speaking, you'll end up with less than 1% alcohol. So it's, you know, basically can be considered a non-alcohol beverage. Actually, some beers are made that way. They make up the whole wort to how it's going to taste good. They add just the minimum amount of sugar with some yeast. They bottle it immediately. It pressurizes, kills the yeast. You have your carbonation and no alcohol there. Okay, so next thing. You can also experiment with using honey, molasses, brown sugar, or malt extract, which is maltose, as a sweetener and flavoring component of your root beers. Again, maltose, you know, has kind of a sweet malty flavor. Gives kind of a nice creamy feel to it. Well, time is running here, so I should continue on. Water is also important in your making root beer. You don't want to, if you don't like the way your tap water tastes, you know, if it's say too irony or has kind of an iron sulfide taste to it, or you know, too much lime, you know, you might want to either filter the water, you know, using something like a pure water filter, or you can use bottled water from a store. Again, it's fairly expensive, but, you know, it's an alternative if you can't stand the taste of water, because if your water tastes bad, it's not going to improve your root beer or your sodas. Okay, next step, since time is running along with us, is your step 3, it's the fermentation time. Okay, now this section is basically assuming that you're going to do a natural carbonation of your root beer rather than force the carbonation by, you know, using CO2 gas and forcing it into your sweet wort to give you your bubbles. So, okay, with that said, the process of fermentation is what puts the little bubbles of carbon dioxide into the root beer. It also is pretty simple to accomplish. What you do is you pour your flavored sugar water into a bucket that can be covered, and then when the temperature of your wort has dropped down to a warm temperature, like about 75 degrees, that's especially important if you're using aspartame. Like I said, you get above 75, 80 degrees and stuff degrades and makes nasty byproducts, which you don't want. So once it's cooled down to roughly 75 degrees, then you can go ahead and do what's called pitching your yeast. And that's basically just opening up the package and, you know, sprinkling it over the top of your wort there in your, into your canning bucket or your bottling bucket. You stir it up and get the lid on. You leave it set for about 12 hours. Okay, now segue back here just a second. Another alternative method is when your wort is almost down to temperature where you're going to put your yeast in at, you can take and put about 6 ounces of, you know, warm filtered water, like into a cup. You put your yeast in there, you let it dissolve, you stir it up, and so it's all ready to go. And then, again, you can take and just take that, pour it into your bucket of your sweet wort, you stir it up, and you cover it. Generally speaking, you can put your, you know, your lid on it, and if you're using your 5-gallon soup pot, you know, you just put the lid on there. But generally speaking, I would say, you know, you might want to use a fermentation bucket, especially one if you have, you know, a spigot on it, because it makes it easier to fill the bottles. So, and after about 12 hours, your yeast is going to be going absolutely bananas there in your bucket. And, you know, the yeast is going to start eating the sugar that's in the bucket and multiplying. And it's going to be creating large, you know, actually huge amounts of, you know, carbonation and foam and all that will result, and then it'll start subsiding. And at that point, it's ready to bottle. So, and also it can happen that you might have to wait an additional 12 hours. Sometimes if stuff is a little bit too cold, it catches a chill, it won't get going real fast. So you just have to kind of wait until you get, you know, good activity in your wort. And then at that point, you'll be about ready to bottle. Now, small side note here before we continue. You do not want to use champagne yeast. Champagne yeast is a bit hardier a yeast, and so it will produce more carbon dioxide and more alcohol than ale yeast will. And the champagne yeast lives a lot longer, and so it can generate a lot more pressure in your bottles. And like I said, you know, ale yeast will do and produce the right amount of carbonation, and it'll die back once it gets enough carbon dioxide forced into the liquid. So with that said, I actually have a couple of pictures here on the page here. One is a Cooper's yeast. It's from Australia, which is what I basically use for when I'm brewing. I do mostly ales for beers, and I've used this for making root beer. The other one is a Munson's Gold, and it's a brewing yeast as well. Biggest thing to watch out for is you got to keep everything really clean. You know, your bottle's got to be clean that you're going to put it in. And, you know, any siphoning hoses, if you use that, it's got to be clean before you start siphoning. And like I said, I generally use a bucket with a spigot on it with a small hose running down from the spigot into the bottle, so I can just fill them up that way. And that way I get less air forced into the mixture, which again can kick the yeast off and make it ferment harder and overpressure your bottles. Okay, so now, trying to think if there's anything else. Well, I suppose we should go on to step four, because I'm sure we're really running close to the end of our time. So, okay, let's get this stuff bottled. That's basically step four. After your initial fermentation goes back, which is about 12 hours, you can start bottling. And, you know, like I noted before, if it's not good, strong ferment going, you might have to let it go a bit longer. So, bottling supplies, I mentioned that. You can buy bottles from a brewing supply place, or you can recycle beer bottles. You don't want to use things like canning jars, because, you know, most canning jar lids, they're one use. So, it's possible to buy bottle caps fairly cheaply. You can usually get about 144 of them for about $2.50-$3. That's if you get, you know, major label ones. They also have just plain, basically a generic cap, just gold. Usually you can get those in bulk for like $300 or $400 of them for maybe between $5 and $10. So it's a good price. Okay, so now what you're going to need to do, you get your bottles filled, you cap them up, and you want to keep them at a good warm room temperature, roughly about 65, 70 degrees for a couple days. And then once you're sure that the fermentation's been doing its thing, you can go ahead and move them down to like a basement or whatever, someplace where it's cooler, like about 50 degrees. This goes back to where I'd mentioned about before about using a plastic bottle. This is the one time where I like to use plastic bottles. When you're bottling stuff up, what you want to do is just take a couple of small ones, like a 12-ounce Coca-Cola or 7-Up bottle. You fill it up to, you know, like within an inch of the top, put the cap on, crank it down, and you set that with your other bottles that you've capped up, you know, glass bottles with metal caps. And once that bottle gets hard, you know, it'll get hard on you. Once it gets hard, though, at that point, this is ready to go down to the basement so it can be cool down there. You let the stuff age for, you know, a week to 2 weeks. At that point, it's probably ready to drink, so bring yourself up one or two of them. Put them in the refrigerator for a day or so to cool down really well. And then you can go ahead and open them. And I would suggest opening it over the sink, you know, for your first couple of them, just to check it, you know, to make sure it hasn't overpressurized. Because if you open it up too quickly and you're not over a sink, you're going to get it all over you, all over the table, or all over the floor. So, you know, that's what you need to do. And like I said, this is why I'd said about using the ale yeast rather than champagne yeast. Because the ale yeast will give you just about the right amount of carbonation in there. Yes, you can blow up a glass bottle using ale yeast, but it's fairly rare. It can happen, though. So it's best to just keep a good eye on your stuff. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead here and probably finish off. I'll go ahead and put some music on. And again, thank you for joining me here in the Tinker's Shop. Today is the 1st of March of 2014. Have a very good evening. God bless. Take care. And we will see you next week with part 2 of Brewing Your Own Root Beer.
Well, I want to be in the cavalry if they send me off to war. I want a good steed under me like my forefathers before. I want a good mount when the bugle sounds and I hear the cannons roar. Well, I want to be in the cavalry if they send me off to war. Well, I want a horse in a volunteer force that's riding forth at dawn. Please save for me some gallantry that will echo when I'm gone. I beg of you, sergeant, let me lead the charge when the battle lines are drawn. Let me at least leave a good hoof beat that remember loud and long. Well, I'm not a good foot soldier, make every sour and slow at march. and I'd be sick on a Navy ship, and the sea would leave me parched. But I'll be first in line if they let me ride. By God, you'll see my starch. Low back or the heath with the laurel wreath underneath that victory arch. Well, I want to be in the cavalry if they send me up to war. Well, I want a good steed under me like my forefathers before. I want a good mount when the bugle sounds and I hear the cannon roar. Well, I want to be in the cavalry if they send me up to war. Well, let me earn my spurs and the battle's blue and the day is lost or won. I'll wield my lance as the ponies dance and the blackguards fire their guns. A saber keen and a saddle carbine and an army Remington. Where the hot lead screams with the cold, cold steel, I may be a cavalryman. Well, I want to be in the cavalry if they send me off to war. And I want a good steed under me like my forefathers before. I want a good knight when the bugle sounds and I hear the cannons roar. Well, I want to be in the cavalry if I must go off to war. Let them play their flutes and stir up my boots and place them back to front. Cause I won't be back on the riderless black and I'm finished in my hunt. Well, I wanna be in the cavalry if they send me off to war. Well, I wanna be in the cavalry, but I won't ride home no more.
Your anger and the firebird feels your fear, for your passions will attract her and your feelings draw her near. But hate and fear and fury only make her flame and fly. You must rule your heart, magician, or by her brighter wings you'll die. Now the cold drake lives in silence, and he feeds on dark despair, where the shadows fall the bleakest. You will find the cold drake there, for he seeks to chill your spirit and to lure you down to death. Learn to rule your soul, magician, ere you dare the cold drake's breath. The griffin, he is a proud beast. He's master of the sky.
There are a few things life has to offer that is a grade above the rest. Good friends, good food, and a premium handmade cigar from F.K. Kristen Pipe Company. All Just Measures Radio listeners get 10% off all singles and 15% off all boxes. And when you order a box, you will also get one of Natty's Selects free. That's right, with every box purchased, you get one of my hand-picked favorites along with 15%. This is a deal that cannot be beat. You can call or email Stacy via the link at Just Measures Radio or JustMeasuresCS.com. FK Kristen, your premium cigar company. And yes, each one is rolled on the thighs of virgins south of the border.